This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Let's start today with a little free association. Think about the visual image that comes to mind when I play this piece of music.
Well, I looked out my window, wished I had my gun. Best friend, my tater pad, he was digging some, but I'm gonna kill that one day.
All right, now hold that picture. All right, now, what happens when I play this piece from the Raleigh band Maple Stave? Anything? Anybody get a plane in a nosedive surrounded by a flurry of blue and bronze maple leaves? Me either. But that brings us to the idea that fuels a new exhibit called Listenings at the Block Gallery in downtown Raleigh. What does music look like, and how does it shape visual art? Here to talk with me about the exhibit are a couple of artists whose stuff is included in the show. Jimmy Williams is a photographer whose work has been working on a series of portraits of blues musicians, including one of John D. Holman, whom we just heard a little bit earlier. And Chris Williams is a screen print artist who specializes in making posters and cover art for rock bands. He's also a member of the band Maple Stave, and we heard a bit of their song, "Like Rain Freezing and Thawing Between Bricks, Year After Year, This House Will Come Down." Jimmy and Chris, welcome to State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Jimmy, you spent a bulk of your career as a commercial photographer. I think drivers who have prowled I-40 and other places may have seen some of the billboard work you've done. What prompted you to start photographing musicians?
Well, I had been in advertising photography for 35 years, and I, over the last eight or so years, have been drifting a great deal towards, I would call it, the fine art side of the business, and had been searching for a very meaningful series that I could undertake. And I knew that I enjoyed music, in particular the blues, and I ran across the Music Maker Relief Foundation, and they support older blues musicians through their foundation. And I was able to collaborate with them to produce work that they could use, the artists could use for their promotional materials, their CDs, their websites, sending it to their booking agents. And in return, I could create what I felt was important as a portrait of the individual artists. And it seemed to be a series I could bite into and stay with.
How is it different from producing commercial art, or is it?
There's a great deal of similarities. One large deviation might be that everything within the photographs of that I take of the blues musicians it's all authentic. Everything when I capture a photo, it's in a home or a place that's meaningful to that artist by design. The clothes that they wear, the place that they are, what they're doing is genuine. In advertising, there are no rules. You make it up. You invent the concept and then you execute the concept. I could execute the same photographs by envisioning it, but I don't. Instead, it's a little on the documentary side with my artistic vision applied.
In the largest sense, though, you have the same goal, right? You're trying to tell a story with a photograph or a series of photographs, and you need to somehow convince, you know, it has to be convincing in the largest sense of the word, whether it's advertising or whether you're trying to convey the soul of an artist.
Well said. Blues almost by definition is to speak from the soul. And the real difference in the advertising work and in this work is it is my attempt to capture that soul in my photo.
I want to play a bit of another one of the other artists who you have photographed. This is Whistling Britches. Let's listen.
I
Now, Whistling Britches quite famously clicks and not whistles. But he's been on the show. Describe the photograph for us, if you will, because you've got him here in his home. Describe the photograph and tell us how you approach this picture.
I love this photo, and it seems everyone else does too, because they tell me often it's one of their favorite. He's in his room. He's a bit in a supported housing arrangement for health mm-hmm. purposes. And you need to look at the photo first, but then realize he only has one leg. He actually has a prosthetic leg in this photo, but you mm-hmm. you won't know that
right.
because he still dances. He still clicks. He still whistles. And he is just a riot to talk with. I'm not really sure of everything that he told me, how much of it I'm supposed to really believe. But if it's true, it's amazing. Yeah. But I just love it. He's such a wonderful man, and it's such an excellent description of the whole project, the opportunity to meet someone, to spend some time with them, and to try to capture who I think and envision that they really are.
Because he's definitely an older gentleman, but he is in motion. You can almost hear the clicks coming out of his mouth. And then just because he's photographed against his window, there's practically a halo around. I mean, there is a glow around this aging blues legend who, as you say, is always in a supportive role. He doesn't hit it. You don't solo when you make a sound like that.
That's right.
But the blues musicians who played with him say he's a real asset and fun to have around. So, Chris, let's talk a little bit about your poster art and how you're motivated by music to create visual art.
I don't know. It's just something that I've always wanted to do. I wanted to be a musician from an early age, and from my early teens, I wanted to start doing poster art. So it was just I've always done art from when I was a little boy, but in my early teens, it just kind of started clicking exactly what I wanted to do.
And you said when you told them in art school that that's what you wanted to do, they said, well, you're coming to the wrong place.
Yeah, they did the round table, asked what everybody enjoyed doing, and everyone else enjoyed doing oils or sculpture or something. And they asked me what I enjoyed, and I said that I enjoyed making posters for bands, and they told me I was undecided. So I told them I was an English major after that.
So what's going on there? I mean, is poster work? I mean, is the graphic? And you use screen print too, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So tell us about that decision.
It was just I don't know. I never really I took some classes learning how to do Photoshop and digital work, and I know how to use it now. But it feels much more personal to me to be able to do screen printing. Every print that you do has its own unique touch, and I as critical as I am about that, I really appreciate that. So I appreciate doing it, and I appreciate when I go and buy someone else's screen printed work. So.
How do you feel about that roundtable critique that you got, in essence saying that what goes on posters is an art?
Looking back, that's fine.
But is it? I mean, what distinguishes it? How would you make a distinction between oil sculpture and the kind of art that we've and certainly it had a heyday. I'm not sure that it's as prominent as it was back in the earlier days of rock and roll and pop music. But is it a kind of art, or is it commercial? Can we, is there a need to make the distinction?
Yeah, and now especially there's sites, gigposters.com just celebrated its 10th anniversary. And that site has thousands of artists that do this sort of thing. And so it's actually really made... It's really had a resurgence in the last probably 20 years, I'd say.
Well, here's the thing. I want to figure out how a song becomes a poster, so why don't we listen to this clip of a song from Maple Stave. Let's go. We'll talk in Airwolf. There we you have just a taste of Maple Stave from their song Let's Go. We'll Talk Airwolf. Describe now the cover art that generated and tell us how it came about.
for Maple Stave, for most of our practices, as much as we practice, it becomes typically a discussion about a number of things, including the title, Let's Go, We'll Talk an Airwolf, is from the online comic strip Aquid. Airwolf, of course, being the 80s helicopter show.
Yeah, Lindsay knows all about it. She filled me in just before the show.
We talk a lot about fighter jets and things of that sort. And so, and I've always put maple leaves in some way, shape, or form into the artwork concerning the band. So that's the commercial jet that's going down on the cover, or that actually made its way onto the poster that's in the exhibit. Then that's sort of where that came from. It doesn't really make much sense.
It makes sense. It's its own kind of logic, and that's the genius of it all. I want to thank you both for being on the program and encourage everybody to go see the exhibit. Jimmy Williams and Chris Williams have a work in the show Listenings. It's on display through March 28th at the Miriam Preston Block Art Gallery at Avery C. Upchurch Government Complex in downtown Raleigh. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we get a vivid picture of the war in Afghanistan on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.